Praises to you ourselves in the shower or at home, but there's something special when your people gather. I pray that that's an encouragement that, again, as difficult as it is to try to follow after the example your son Jesus Christ gave us, it's difficult. And it's great to come here and be reminded that we don't walk this path alone. And we're here to encourage one another, to challenge one another, and learn from one another. So we're thankful for this time. Thank you for this song to really lift you up and remember all that you are. I pray that you would now speak through Pastor Mike. Give him the words that we need to hear. May the only things that come forth be words that would fall in, again, into the soil of our hearts and take root, grow into fruit that would be a blessing to us and others. So we do ask for that. We love you and we thank you, Father. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated.
A 70-year-old avid golfer was frustrated with his poor eyesight. See, he generally hits a very good shot just straight down the fairway, but he cannot see where the ball lands. In fact, his poor eyesight was just about to derail his golf game. So he shared this problem with his doctor. And this doctor came up with a brilliant idea. This doctor hooked him up with an 80-year-old man who had excellent eyesight, but he suffers from memory loss from time to time. So these two elderly golfers went out together, in fact, quite excited of the new partnership. So once again, this 70-year-old teed up the ball and hit the ball straight down the fairway. So he quickly asked his partner, "Did you see where the ball landed?" Very proudly, this man said, "Of course." So the two headed down to the next hole. When they get there, the golfer asked, "Well, where's the ball?" The 75-year-old said, "Well, you know, I can't remember." You know, part of aging is losing our memory, from forgetting people's name, where we put our keys, to dementia and Alzheimer's. So King Solomon, in his old age, advises that we are to remember our Creator. As myself, I'm getting older. I'm almost 68 years old. I can relate to King Solomon. What he says to us today is most relevant and most important in my own Christian journey. So before I forget, you might say, let me remind all of us and all of you youngsters out there to remember your Creator. So the title of my message this morning is Remember Your Creator. The text is from Ecclesiastes. The original assigned text is the first 8 verses of chapter 12, so I decided to go back a little bit to read the last 4 verses of chapter 11 as well. So would you please open your Bible? And because of long passage, I will not read it aloud, but please read on your own in your iBible or follow the outline here. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, starting with verse 7. Should we get a chance to read? My outline this morning is threefold. First of all, remember your Creator in youth. Remember your Creator in old age. And remember your Creator in death. First of all, remember your Creator. Well, who is our Creator? Obviously, Yahweh, the Jehovah God, is our Creator. This morning, our worship team has led us into the presence of our Creator. We have been reminded this is an awesome God, awesome in power, right? Can change water into wine. He's a great healer, can restore sight to the blind. He's a great God from age to age. And he is a perfect God. And this is our Creator. Of course, our Creator, he gives life to you and to me. But it's more than just giving life. But our Creator also gives us the meaning, the purpose of life. So throughout the book, Solomon has been saying, life under the sun without God is meaningless and vanity. But life with God, there is a purpose, there is meaning. You know, the Hebrew word remember is quite interesting. To remember something is just not to recall something or have a mental image of someone. It means more than just not to forget, like putting a post-it note in front of a bathroom mirror to remind us something. The Hebrew word means more than just to recall something, but to act on what you remember. To remember God then is more than just to think about God, but to obey what God has said, or what you remember about God. This morning we have reminded who our God is. But not just remember the fact that he is perfect, but I must act on the fact that God is perfect. It means to consider God with the intention to obey. To remember our Creator more than just is a full commitment to God. To act on what God has caused you to remember. For me to remember my wife Priscilla, it's just not to picture her in my mind, but to act on her behalf, to do good to her and for her. That's how we are to remember our Creator. Remember the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel? Remember, she was barren and without child. So she prayed to God. This is what she says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10 to 11. In her deep anguish, Anna prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly, and she made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and what? Remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son. Hannah prayed that God, just don't remember me, but give me a son. Act good on my behalf. Of course, we know the scripture says God answered Hannah's prayer. Verse 19 and 20. And the Lord remember her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel. See, God did not simply just think about Hannah, but God acted on behalf of Hannah and granted her a child. Later became Prophet Samuel. So when the Bible said remember your Creator, it means to remember and to act in obedience of God's word. It means to recall what God has said in the Bible and then obey what it has said. So when we say remember the scripture, it's more than just Bible memorization. It means to remember and to act what the verse reminds us or tells us to do. So remember our Creator in our youth, is to take seriously what God says about life and obey Him when we're young. And that's our next topic. Remember your Creator in youth. Chapter 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the days of trouble come. This advice actually begins in chapter 11. Solomon says, young people, enjoy life that God has given you, especially during your youth. 11 verse 9, be happy, young man, while you're young, and let your heart give your joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. Of course, it does not mean that we do whatever our hearts desire, or do not deny ourselves of any type of pleasures. It's not free for all when the scripture says that. This is living under the sun. As we've been learning all along, that life under the sun is meaningless. Life under the sun is vanity. So verse 9, Solomon continues, but know that all these things God will bring you into judgment. Yes, we are to enjoy the life that have given to us. But we cannot enjoy the sins of life. Yes, okay to enjoy the pleasures of life, but not the sins of life. And Solomon reminds us that God will judge. So we still need to remember God even as we're enjoying life and obey His word. You know, it is easy to forget and neglect the Lord when we are all caught up in the enjoyment and the opportunities of youth, isn't it? You are in the prime of life, full of energy, full of stamina, enjoying the opportunities of life and your career. You know, when we're young, we tend to remember the good days, and we tend to forget the bad days, don't we? Chapter 11, verse 8. But let him remember the days of darkness, and there will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. Life under the sun is meaningless, even during the vigors of youth, because of the dark days, the days of trouble, will come according to the scripture. As we learned already in chapter 9 earlier, eventually death will come. Death is a common destiny of all men, right? The writer of Hebrews says that it is appointed for all men once to die. So if life is meaningless under the sun, then we must learn to live life above the sun. Of course, this is one of the major themes of the book of Ecclesiastes. According to Solomon, during our youthful years, the sun is bright and life is pleasant. But Solomon also warns that there are also dark days. Unless, young people, you build a firm spiritual foundation during your youth, life can be meaningless as you grow old. In fact, we will all share the same fate of death, even with the unbelievers. So Solomon writes, chapter 12, verse 1, remember your Creator in your youth, in the days of youth, before the trouble come, before you say, I take no pleasure in them. So young people, I'm so glad to see so many of you are here worshiping God. So many of you know your God at your young age. So live each day remembering God and remembering your Creator. I know some of you may be going away to college, away from your mom and dad, away from your church community. Some of you may be away from or going away for a new job, or your job may demand travel away from home. Pastor Jim's not going to be around reminding us. So it is imperative that we remember our Creator not only in our youth, but wherever you are, whether here at home or away from home. Again, the definition of remembering God means to obey Him and all His command. Solomon continues to remind all of us to remember God before old age comes. You know, when you're young, you're full of energy and stamina. Your brain, your mental faculty is bright and sharp. You have a lot of spiritual enthusiasm and zeal for the Lord. But with old age, it comes with physical weakness. You have loss of energy and forgetfulness. So Solomon reminds all of us that it is also important that we remember our Creator in our old age. That's my second point. Remember Creator in old age. In fact, Solomon said, remember Creator in your youth. Why? Because he says, old age will come, whether you like it or not, isn't it? Remember your Creator before the days of your trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them, before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. What does that mean? You know, as youth is often described as the time of the rising sun, right? The dawning of the new age. It's life of brightness. And old age is often described as what? Twilights. You heard it, that term? The twilights of our years. It's full of cloud and full of gloom. Youth often is described as summer and spring. How about old age? Autumn, isn't it? It's a winter of our years. And that's what Solomon is talking about. Old age, even the stars, the sun appear dark. And this is part of the cycle of life. It is this inescapable law of nature. Whether you're young or whether you're old, we all of us are getting older by the minute. Agree? There's no way of getting around it. With each sunrise, with each sunset, is a reminder of this passage of time. You know, a survey among the elderly found that the number one concern or the emotional feeling among the aged is a feeling of uselessness. As we get old, you retire from your work, you finish with your job, finish with your career, your children are grown, marry, and become independent. So many seniors do feel they are no longer needed in their homes and in their society. The number two feeling, the number two concern is that this guilt feeling among the elderly. This guilty feeling that somehow they have messed up their life. Somehow they have not lived the life that they wanted to. And they want to live differently if they have a chance to start all over again. So Solomon encouraged young people to remember their Creator in their youth. In fact, we ought to get started as young as possible. So it's good for young parents to bring your children to church, to introduce them to Christ, so they too will know their Creator at the young age. You know, when we're young, it is so easy to think that we live forever. When you're young, your body can do anything you want. But physical aging is real, believe me. Physical aging is real. You don't have to be 68 in order to know that. I know some of you may be in your 50s. You're already experiencing physical weakness. verses 3-5, I think, is one of the most imaginative description of old age. I love this passage. I find so many things apply to me. Pastor Jim mentioned this morning that we pastors ought to preach a sermon ourselves. This is me. Now, most scholars agree that these descriptions are description of old age. But that they may disagree on exactly what some of this means. Follow along with me. Let me give you a few common explanations. The keeper of the house is sometimes interpreted as our hands and arms. They do get sick. They do tremble with old age. The strong man's can refer to our legs or maybe the core. Huh? Some of you exercise or into sports know how important it is to maintain a strong core. With age, your core will become weak. Back pain is one of the most common problems of old people. Old people do walk with a stoop. The grinder is what? Are the teeth, which the elderly lose over the years of use and decay. They cannot chew as fast as they want to be. They need false teeth. The grinding is slow. The dim window speaks of their poor vision. Some of you may notice I tend to use large font size. It's not for your benefit, it's for my benefit. As we get old, our eyes do get dim. I have a hard time reading my notes. Old people cannot sleep much. They wake up bright and early at the songs of the birds. I'm up by 6. I want to sleep even sometimes. I just can't. That's part of aging. They don't hear well. And old people do afraid of falling. Do afraid of heights. In fact, I visited one of the elderly from my other church yesterday. She walked, make sure that she's holding on to a rail or walk with a walker because they're afraid of falling down. And you still have any hair left? They're white. A la me. They're white like almond tree blossom. I don't know if you have seen almond tree blossom before. California, where I lived for many years, in Central California, they grow a lot of almonds. When they blossom, it's all white. It speaks of the white hair of the old folks. Elderly drag their feet like grasshoppers, dragging their feet at the end of the summer season. It takes longer and longer to go to point A and point B. The desires of the elderly are no longer stirred. They lose their appetite. Maybe they lose their sexual pleasures. But again, this is part of aging. Many old folks do yearn for their eternal homes. You know that? Or sometimes when I visit old folks, they even tell me, Pastor, why can't God just take me home? They're in a nursing home. Can hardly eat. And they have desire to go home and die. And of course, as we learned before, eventually, these elderly do die. Eventually, all of us die, isn't it? This is life cycle under the sun. Solomon says, when such trouble come, or they will come, and we'll say, we will find no pleasure in them. So it is equally important, old folks, if we have no folks here, to remember our Creator just as important is for the young people to remember the Creator. God, of course, will and restore meaning and purpose, even as our physical body may deteriorate. If us elderly live life above the sun, we can find meaning and purpose. We don't need to feel guilty that we have wasted our life. If we live life with God, then this life is fulfilled with God's purpose. Young people, if you live life above the sun and continue living life with your Creator in your childhood and into your latter years, then there will be no regret how you live your life. My third point, remember your Creator in death. So Solomon, in this passage, reminds us that we are to remember our Creator in our youth, remember our Creator in our old age, but also remember our Creator even as we face our own death, isn't it? Solomon writes, remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Once again, Solomon returns to his command, remember him, meaning remember our Creator. See, we are to remember God even as we face the reality of death. Pastor Jim Murray addressed this, how we all must face that. That there is a timetable, you say? There is a deadline. The deadline. I just realized that's quite a pun. The deadline. Okay, never mind. Now I lost my train of thought. That's aging. Oh, boy. Okay. You know, the severing of the cord, the broken golden bowl, the shattering of the pitcher, the broken wheel at the well are all metaphors of death. See, our fragile cord of life can easily snap, just as our spinal cord. And easily, life is taken out of our life. You know, the ancient people often speak of the fountain of water as symbolic of life, isn't it? So when you have a broken bowl, the spring is broken, it speaks water of life will stop flowing. Maybe medicine, when the blood stops flowing, when the heart is broken, the blood can no longer flow and life will cease. Verse 7 said, after death, dust returns to the ground and the soul returns to God. Of course, we know that. After death, our body decomposes back to the dust, right? I, as a pastor, I conducted many funerals. And this is one thing that we often say, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. We know that, right? Eventually, our dead body decomposes into dust. Our dust will return to the ground. And Solomon said, the spirit returned to God. Of course, Solomon does not mean that everyone will be saved. Not everyone, it seems to imply that the spirit, our soul, will return to God who gave it. The Bible does not teach that. That's universalism. That's not true. Not all of us return to God. What Solomon means is that when we die, our soul will return to God to face judgment. If you believe in God, if you live a righteous life, God will reward us with eternal life with him. But for the wicked, for those who refuse to accept his salvation through his son Jesus Christ, then when we face God, we will be condemned and spend eternity in hell away from the presence of God. So for all believers and Christians, if we remember our Creator in our youth, remember our Creator in our old age, then we have no fear of aging. We have no fear of death. We can age gracefully, you might say, with God. The gloomy picture here of old age is an age under the sun. But that does not negate the blessings of old age that Scripture talks about. There is blessing when even old folks learn to live above the sun. Solomon writes in Proverbs, "Gray hair is a crown of splendor, and it is attained by a righteous life." Solomon is saying there is honor, there is glory, there is splendor in aging. White hair is a crown of splendor. So ladies, you don't need to dye your hair black when you have white hair. It is the glory. It is a splendor. But it is only attained by a righteous life. Only a person live with God. Live a righteous life. So this passage reminds the young, that you may not have the ability to enjoy this blessing of a godly old age if we don't remember God during our youthful years. Let me summarize this passage. Remember your Creator. Solomon, as you know, said to be the wisest man ever lived. Although he lived part of his life under the sun, but I really believe that he finally got it. Some people even speculated Solomon returned to God in his old age and probably saved in heaven. I don't know. Solomon learned what it means to live life under the sun as well as above the sun. So here Solomon in this passage reminds us that we are to remember our Creator in our youth, remember our Creator in old age, remember our Creator even as we face our own death. So as for application and conclusion, let me share with you three practical advice that Chuck Swindoll, some of you are familiar with him, from his book Living on the Ragged Edge, which basically is a commentary, his commentary on the book of Ecclesiastes. So he suggested these three practical advice for us. We must face the fact of aging, and we've been talking about that. Solomon writes about that, right? See, we're not getting any younger, folks. Aging is an inevitable reality of life, and we all must face it. It is a natural cycle of life. As an old person, let me reassure you that it is easier to face aging with God than without God. It is easier to face aging with God than without God. Secondly, Jackson's all advice, God has designed us to be empty or vanity without Him. See, our hearts will not find rest. Our soul will not find peace unless we submit our lives in His loving hand. Living a life above the sun rather than life under the sun. Thirdly, Chuck Swindoll said, now is the time to prepare for eternity. Some of us are preparing for your retirement. That is commendable. But to prepare for your eternity is vital. In fact, it is a matter of life and death. And it's only while we live this life on earth that we can decide. We can determine our eternal destiny, whether to be in heaven with God or away from the presence of God. C.S. Lewis once wrote these interesting words. He said, there are only two kinds of people at the end. Those who say to God, your will be done. The other are those to whom God says, in the end, your will be done. What is he saying? C.S. Lewis is saying that we can say to God, God, your will be done. It is your will for all of us to be saved. So I accept your Son, Jesus Christ, to be Lord and Savior. I receive you. This is your will. and there are others, God will say to them, your will be done. You have rejected me. You had the opportunity in life to receive me as Lord and Savior. But you reject me. Your will is to be away from me. You don't want me. So at the end, God said, okay, your will be done. I will grant your wishes, in a sense. Brothers and sisters, what will you choose? Which one would you choose? Are you prepared for eternity? Now is a time for you and for me, for all of us, to prepare for our eternity. We can say to God, our Creator, take my life and let it be consecrated all to Thee. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reminder of these words of Solomon. What an encouragement to all of us that we are to remember you. Whether we're young or old, wherever we are, in whatever circumstances we're in plenty or in lack, we are to remember you as our Creator. So Lord, help us to be faithful to you, to remember you in a way that we be obedient to what you have taught us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hi guys, if you'll stand with me, let's sing this last song together as a response song.
Take my love and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as you choose. Here am I, all of me,
all of me.
Take my take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine own. It shall be Thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at Your feet its treasure. Take myself and I will be ever only all for Thee. Take myself. thee, ever only all for thee. Here am I,
here am I,
all of me,
all of me.
Take my
this song. Exactly the words that we sang. Let today, right now, be an opportunity for us to just be reminded of why we're here. God, as much as it's great to enjoy the blessings that you've given us, friends, family, spouses, kids, a job that we really enjoy, the great weather, these things are ultimately not meant to satisfy. God, we know that when we find our true fulfillment and our joy in you alone, God, that we can enjoy these things. But ultimately we are sustained and we can wake each morning knowing it's by your grace, and our lives can be lived with purpose, not for our own gain, not just to be good people, but lives that would bring you glory, lives that would seek to help others know the goodness, the forgiveness that they have in you, the eternity that they can spend with their Father God. So God, I pray that this would be an opportunity for us to be reminded. Forgive us for these past weeks, months, years, even, where our lives did not reflect that. Let this be a start of something new. And we know we can only do it by your Spirit's power, so Holy Spirit, help us to do so. May our lives truly be lived for your glory. But thank you also for all these other things you've given us to enjoy, for this church community. God, we love you, we thank you. Thank you again for this time. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated.
Thanks.
Good morning, and welcome to the Evangelical Chinese Church of South King County. My name is Derek, and thank you, Pastor Locke, for a message to remember our Creator. And the one announcement I have is to reminder that summer conference is next weekend, not this weekend, but next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So sign up. I believe today is going to be, well, one more, I guess, next week to sign up. Okay. And the speaker is Eric Chu, and it's in your bulletin. And he'll be teaching from the book of Jonah, okay, on the English side. One other thing I'd like to add is if Brody, if you could stand up, and Elder David, if you could stand up. If you guys have any questions about today's message and would like to find out more about who Jesus or who God is, please talk to any one of us, okay? And also, of course, Pastor Jim and also Pastor Michael is available. Okay, thank you. So I think his message about remembering our God is very important. And in this time and age, if you have any questions about who God is, or who you think Jesus is, or who Jesus might be to you, please come and talk to any one of us, and we'd be glad to just share who Jesus is with you, okay? Thank you.
Okay, let's have a closing prayer, and then the benediction, and time for silent prayer. Father God, indeed, whether we are young or we are old, Lord, help us to remember that we are yours. Help us to remember, not just be reminded, but also to act and live in a way that knows and is sure that we are yours. Whatever that means in our life situation, our life stage, wherever we are, God, remind us that we are yours and you are ours. So thank you, Lord, for this message. Thank you for sustaining us all of our lives, all the days of our lives, and help us to enjoy your presence. Now may the love of God, our Father, our Creator, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.